Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Get behind us because we're taking over.
Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. Bam Bam Thai Tuivasa.
Oh! Kevin Egg gets it done.
You have got a new contender for real at 185.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jared Cannonier.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have a good show. We got Thai Tuivasa on the show today. We got Jared Cannonier fighting Robert Whittaker this Saturday in the co-main event with huge title implications. So hi, guys. How are you both doing?
Hey, man. What's happening?
Good to see you, Dean.
It's always good to see you.
De Niro? Is that your name? Is that your real name, De Niro?
No, that's my name. Dean is my first name. Yarrow is my middle name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but Dean is your first. D-I-N is your first name.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was short for Dean. De Niro.
No.
Dean, is your parents alive?
My father is.
Okay, I want to meet your dad.
Do you?
Yeah, I want to ask him about your name and everything.
All right. I'll bring him up the Long Island.
Listen, you were gone. Dean Thomas, I left him in Fight Island a fucking month ago.
That's right.
The guy, where are you now?
I'm in Mexico now.
Are you home?
No, I'm in Mexico.
Wait a second.
Mexico?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. I'm actually... Oh,
where are you?
I'm in Mexico. I'm doing that Roy Jones Jr. Icon promotion, and I'm commentating that tomorrow. It's called Icon. It's on Fight Pass.
Where in Mexico are you?
I'm in it's called Hermosillo. I was just like looking for some entertainment down here, you know, so something to do. Some weird things involving animals and stuff.
Well, make sure you know where you're going. Mexico... Again, and not the, you know, you don't stereotype a whole country. People who are Mexican probably tell me I'm crazy, but it scares me. I've seen too many cartel videos, and just watch where you're going.
No, you know what? It's funny. Because I drove here from the airport, and I swear I thought I was in an episode of Breaking Bad. I thought I was being chased by like the Salamanca brothers or something. Like, I mean, Why? It was like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's just because it looked exactly like that. It was like desert looking and like mountains on the side, and it just looked like that. So I was like, man, this might be a scary place.
How far from the airport?
It was like 2 hours.
Holy from, shit.
Yeah.
What? What are you doing? Get a fucking Uber. What are you doing?
I know. It's crazy.
What are you doing, Dean Thomas?
What? I'm living my life, brother.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
What's up, Jared?
What's happening?
Hey, man, how come you ain't got the fist pick? You got a regular pick. You need a pick with a fist on it.
I've had plenty of those fist picks and I keep on losing them. So I brought a plastic one. I wasn't afraid to lose on the other side of the world.
I feel you.
See, you guys can talk about hair and so can Matt and I. We have
You know, when I went to Brazil, everybody took note of that and you know, tried to put the pick in their hair, but you know, they got the straight, looser hair down there and it wouldn't be, and I had the metal pick, so it was a little bit heavier and it wasn't able to stay in their hair and stuff, so I had to throw it away because I didn't know if any of them were carrying lice or anything like that. So I had to throw the pick away.
Yeah,
you don't want to share a pick.
No.
Jared, let me ask you about that. Now, is that constantly to keep your hair cool, or is it just more of a fashion thing?
It's because I don't want to put the pick in my pocket, you know? So I just stick it up there, and it stays up there. And sometimes I forget about it. I put a shirt on, or I get out of my truck and catch it, and it'll rip out some of my hair. But it's so I don't lose it. You know, they don't fit in my pocket, and it's easier to find up there.
It's a placeholder. It's like a bookmark. Yeah.
And it looks cool, too. So
yeah, it does.
It is a cool look. Yeah. But doesn't that drive you nuts? I would feel it on my head. I would feel something like on one side of my head. It would drive me crazy.
No, it doesn't really move around too much. You get used to it. It's like wearing a hat or a wig or something.
Oh, okay.
You know what Jared has? He has momentum.
Yeah.
3 stoppages in a row. Jack Hermanson, Anderson Silva, David Branch. These aren't easy guys to take out. Jared, what the heck, man? You're doing something right.
Yeah, and I made it look easy too, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
You did. Yeah. And now you're facing Robert Whittaker. I mean, your confidence has to be through the roof, but you're facing a former champion. Are you a guy that dissects the tape? You have your guys do that, or you're not a tape guy at all? You just say you concentrate on you.
No, I definitely watch some tape, but I don't study it too much. You know, I don't watch tape every day of the camp or anything like that. I download what these guys do, you know, their tendencies, and I develop a plan. Me and my team develop a plan based off of what we see in tape and stuff. We you know how it is, man. You're a super coach. You got a good team up there, and you know how it goes. So, you know, we get together, we talk about it, we make sure we're on the right page, we make sure we're always going to do the right thing in camp, and you know, in the MMA lab, we mix chemicals and see what sort of reactions we get, and we got the right formula for this one.
So what do you see in Robert Whittaker that gives you that confidence knowing that going into this fight? Like, is there something specific that you see that you can exploit?
Well, he's human, and anybody who's human can be hurt or beaten or anything like that. So, you know, natural laws of physics, you get hit in the brain, you rattle the brain, you can touch the chin, you can break the body. You know, I got some really strong leg kicks, you know. Not only are they strong kicks to the leg, but they're just strong kicks in general. So I've gotten a lot more dexterity in my hips. I'm able to get those legs up there as high as possible. And I'm able to do some damage with my kicks, more damage now with my kicks. And I think that may be something that's going to show more in this fight. You know, everybody's seen the leg kick and all that good stuff. But the kicks in general are going to be devastating for me, at least.
Well, for a while the fact that he got dropped by Adesanya was amazing. After doing 10 rounds with Yoel Romero and withstanding that. So that's got to make you feel good that at least like you said, anybody can be dropped. But the fact that he's already been dropped once, because to me, after 10 rounds with Yoel, you're like, no one's ever going to drop this guy. And then all of a sudden, Adesanya does it.
Well, Robert, he has really good movement. You know, we see him moving around. He bounces around a lot. He covers distance very fast. He's very explosive. He's hard to get a hold of. And that's why he wasn't, you know, Romero wasn't able to get the knockout. And Izzy's just smart, man. He's a good counter striker. He waited and baited the man in, and all he had to do was touch the chin. And any man's chin can get touched, and any man can be knocked out in that regard. So, you know, Izzy found his formula, and I have mine. I'm not going to sit and wait, though. You know, I'm going to take, like I said before, I'm going to take it to him. I'm going to put it on him. And I'm not going to give him, you know, opportunities to do anything he does well.
I want to ask about your grappling, because let me tell you, I was watching your fight with Jack Hermanson, and he was throwing everything but the kitchen sink, and me, loving jiu-jitsu, I'm like, oh, look how he's doing this, doing that. But you're getting out of everything, and when you get out of everything, you're coming at him relentless. How are you working a lot of, like, worst-case scenarios with guys on your back? Because let me phrase this where you look like you should have been in jeopardy in some of these positions, but you didn't seem like you were in jeopardy. You were just fighting out of everything, getting back, and then just laying down a beating. So I want to know, with your grappling training, is there a lot of worst case scenario positions, or what exactly are you doing to keep you so calm in those situations?
Well, I first started doing grappling. Modern Army Combatives is grappling based. I did judo a little bit after that. When I got up to Alaska, it was jiu-jitsu at first. It was all jiu-jitsu. So I've been grappling for well over 10 years. I'm well-versed, even though I'm still a purple belt. It's because I don't don the gi as much as I need to since going into mixed martial arts. I don't don the gi as much as most people do to get promoted as fast as, you know, get promoted in the amount of time. So, but my jiu-jitsu is top notch. I'm well versed. I've seen plenty of different of those bad situations people get put in and stuff. And in preparing for fights, I've definitely learned more and more. I've actually used Jack Hermanson's famed Joker choke, what I heard somebody call it. I've tapped people out with that since training for him. You know, he uses it. So I felt that a lot, and I'm like Rogue from X-Men. If I make contact with it, I should be able to duplicate it. You know, I'm like, oh, the copycat ninja, more like Kakashi from Naruto. I'm more like a copycat ninja in that regard. So if I see it, I can do it. But you know, I'm pretty good as far as my defense go. You know, before Jack Hermanson, there was Glover Teixeira, who was ranked number 3 when I fought him at light heavyweight, and I think it was my 1-2-4th fight in the UFC, I fought Glover Teixeira, and he, you know, took me down in every round, and I spent most of the time on my back. I actually came out of that fight with Matt Byrne or Carpet Byrne all over my back. So, but, you know, he didn't do much damage. You know what I'm saying? As a matter of fact, I actually cut him on the nose from the bottom with an elbow. So I'm pretty good at defending myself on the ground. I'm way better now. You know, it's not just defending myself. I'm getting up. And if you end up on the bottom, you know, people are getting knocked out from down there. So, you know, people think that, you know, just because I don't wrestle me doesn't mean I can't. You know what I'm saying? I just haven't had the need to. I've been knocking people out. I've been putting people on, you know, on their heels and making them run. And whenever they shoot, you know, it's hard for them to get me down. I'm strong as hell. And if you end up on bottom, it's going to be a problem.
Shoot, you're doing something right. I'll tell you right now. But first of all, I just noticed a couple of things right there. You just dropped two things right there for me, and I picked it up. You mentioned Rogue from X-Men, and then I think you mentioned an anime person. This is my type of language, Jerry. Sorry, Jimmy. I hope I didn't lose half the audience.
No.
Are you a comic book or anime fan, or in the past, or you just threw that out for some pop culture stuff?
No, I watch anime, man. I watch anime. I grew up playing video games because I didn't play sports. They didn't have martial arts. They didn't have the sports that I wanted to do. I wanted to do martial arts as a child. Everybody wanted to play football, basketball, or be rappers, and that didn't interest me too much. So it was always martial arts as a child. It was always been my aspiration. And once I got a hold of it, I jumped right in. I've always watched anime. They've always been my inspiration for anime, kung fu movies, all those things, you know, have always been my inspiration. The new Marvel movies, anything combat, anything dealing with people being better than normal people. You know what I'm saying? I'm all for that. So, yes, I like anime.
Dean Thomas, you make fun of me all the time for my love of comic books. How dare you? Now, say it now with Jared in the room. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I appreciate his honesty in that. You know what I'm saying? Because not a lot of brothers really – you know, embrace the anime and stuff like that, you know?
Hey, the champ does. Israel Adesanya loves it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's for whatever reason, it's coming around. It's coming around.
Well, it used to be that a grown man watches cartoons and stuff really isn't a man. You know, it's that toxic masculinity thing going on.
Yeah.
And you can't really be a man if you sit around watching cartoons. But, you know, I watch cartoons. I get up and go to the gym and kick ass. I do it on TV. And I spend quality time with my family. I'll take care of business. You know what I'm saying? So I can sit up and watch cartoons. So
look at this. We could have been hanging out ages ago, me and you. I think I got a new friend.
My oldest brother, he was a big comic book fan. He collected a whole bunch of comic books and used to fight and bite at us whenever we want to put our dirty little mitts on him and stuff. So he was a big comic book collector. I don't know what happened to all those issues he collected and kept in those plastic sleeves. Yeah. But
those are worth money if you save them. In the last 15 years, not as 20 years, because people know to collect, but there was a lot of money in comic books. I think I sold mine to drink and do drugs when I was a teenager, but I kind of wish I had held on to them.
Dare you?
Yeah, I dumped them.
A lot of go guys who did comic books, you know, it probably turned to drugs and stuff.
Yeah. And yeah. So it kind of seems like the next reality after comic books, when you're a kid, what do you do to kind of match that excitement? You get high, I guess.
There you go.
And I think we had asked you, I don't remember, you mentioned Alaska a minute ago, right? You mentioned Alaska. And I think that you were in the military?
Yes.
And I was in the Army. Right to Alaska.
No, I wasn't in the Army, in the military in Alaska. I was in the military. And when I got out, that's when I got a job with the FAA in Alaska.
That's right. Yeah, you did tell. Okay, yeah. We talked about that. And you were there for how long?
I was in Alaska from 09 to 17.
Oh, I didn't remember that. It was 8 years. Oh my, how crazy did you go in 8 years in Alaska?
Oh man, the winters get long and dark and cold, but the summers are really nice. Even though they're short, it sort of balances it out. The fact that I had a nice job and I was able to train and develop myself as a martial artist kept me sane. And as soon as I was able to, as you guys saw, I quit that six-figure job and dipped out. And I went to the hottest place I could find, Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get anywhere. Any. I think Phoenix is probably the hottest place in the U.S., right?
That's what they say, the hottest city in America.
Jared, so last time we talked to you, I had started to embrace this very spiritual side. Are you still on that same path and that same journey spiritually now?
Absolutely. Spirituality, of course, as we all know, is an ongoing journey. I'm learning more and more about myself, about my surroundings, about everything, you know, esoteric things that we're not taught every day. I think things that are intentionally hidden from us are the things that I'm diving into now. Not necessarily occultic things. Some people who, you know, thump the Bible continuously may say so. I had somebody on my Instagram telling me that I need to quit worshiping stones. And I'm like, I don't worship stones. Have I ever heard me say I worship stones? I've only said that I use stones. The same way that people use the Bible to enhance their spirituality and get the messages that they need. So, you know, I don't necessarily worship anything. The only thing I worship is the aspects of God that I see in myself, that I see in everything around me. You know, I feel that everything is connected. Everything is connected. And that's just it. You know, finding that connection, you know, that connection is what we would deem, you know, God or divinity or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't even like to use the word God anymore, because it's conceptualization of divinity is what it is. But with that being said, you know, just exploring different avenues of reality, if you will, you know what I'm saying? The real world, not a fictitious world that, you know, we're told that is real, you know? So that's generally my stance. I got some flack for saying that you're not God and this and that and this and that. And I'm like, damn, I didn't say I was God. I said I am God in the flesh. And if anybody doesn't believe that, they don't believe that they're anything good. So they probably think that they're lower beings and that they're meek and they're supposed to be, you know, that they're supposed to humble themselves and praise something from on high. But no, that's how you enslave yourself. And I'm here. And the reason why I say it on the camera in front of everybody, because I want everybody to liberate themselves. You know, I feel that the information that I've come into has liberated my soul, my mind, and now my body is being liberated. As you guys see, it's coming through in my career. I didn't lose all this weight because I wanted to be the best fighter in the world. I lost all the weight because I wanted to be the best person I can be. So that's my motivation.
Do you have any, because a lot of times with spirituality too, people have, you know, I guess we all have demons on some level. Like, are there things in your personality or things that are like, oh, those are some dark thoughts or those or whatever that the spirituality balances out?
Early on, you know, I had to deal with my ego and stuff. And I've come to realize that the thoughts that come into my mind, I don't have to combat with them. You know, I need to just understand what they are. And as long as if they resonate with my heart, I like to listen to my heart. I don't like to think things through now. You know what I'm saying? I listen with my heart and use my intention. And as long as I stay connected to what I know is what I call like righteousness, you know, divinity, the cosmos, the universe, you know, I just began to trust that part of myself. And in doing so, I know what's right and what's wrong. And we also know, you know what I'm saying? I also use myself as an example. I wouldn't want nobody doing me like that.
do unto others as, you know, saying, we all know, heard that verse in the Bible, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So even though I don't do Christianity, there are a lot of good lessons in there. You know, they take a lot of real lessons and put it in the Bible so that people can be good people. I feel that it is just not adequate enough at the level that I wanted to be at. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I was able to surpass that level of righteousness, that level of divinity. And I feel like I am on the track of doing that.
Do you feel like it helped with your fighting? Does it translate over into fighting? Like having that level of faith and confidence from that spirituality, does it translate into your fighting?
Absolutely. I said this before, that martial arts is a spiritual thing before it's a mental thing, before it's a physical thing. You know, we feel that innate thing that's in us that we want to do. And with our minds, with our mental capacity, we articulate it in a way and formulate it in a way and organize it in a way that we have these different martial arts styles. And then we express that stuff through our physical being. So for me, martial arts has always been spiritual. It's been in my spirit since I was a little kid. Like I told you guys, I've always wanted to do this. This is in my spirit, not something that I saw and it looks good and I wanted to do it. You know, I saw it and it resonated with me. And that's my intuition. That's my spirit. That's that divinity that's in me talking to me. And I just began to listen to it, especially after coming to Arizona, after leaving my job, working 10 hours a day, trying to be a family man and then train as much as I can. I didn't have time to, all my energy was being pulled out of me. I was giving all my energy away in that regard. When I quit my job, I was able to really stop and think and listen to myself and really feel what I really wanted, what I wanted out of myself. And quitting that job was the best thing that happened to me. You know, like I said, I feel like I've liberated my soul in that regard.
I love talking to guys about their last day. I forget what fighter we just talked to, Matt, who just talked about leaving the day job. But it's a little scary, I guess, at first, right? Like when you first give it up, you're like, wow, this is my, now I'm fighting and this is it. Like there's no, you've kind of taken the safety net away. So did that focus you more on fighting and going, this has to be the way I make my living because there's no other backup?
Not necessarily. I quit my job so that I could focus on it. You know what I'm saying? Not that I didn't quit my job because I had to focus on it. I quit my job because I wanted to. This is what I wanted to do. All I want to do is train all day long, explore martial arts, make myself a better martial artist, and doing so, becoming a better person. I'll say it again that I don't train so I can get into a fight. My fighting is only a part of my training. And it's not even the best part of my training. Training is the best part of my training. So fighting is, I'm happy to be and fortunate to be in a position that I can make money and look after myself and care for my family in that regard. But it's only a byproduct of me being a martial artist.
So far, what has the Fight Island experience been like for you?
It's wonderful, man. It's like somebody asked me that and I said, it's like Mortal Kombat when they all go to Shang Tsung's Island or even Enter the Dragon when they get on the island and the festivities and all the food and stuff like that. You know, they don't have nobody bringing a group of women to my room. Thank God for that. But
yeah, that'd be terrible.
That's the only thing missing. That, you know,
it's good food, man. It's good, hospitable people. The UFC staff is always good. You know what I'm saying? I love doing the interviews during fight week because it helps me really get into the mode that I want to be in on fight night. You know what I'm saying? I don't suppress my ego. I control my ego. And when the time comes, I'm going to let that thing go. And I let my ego go when it's time to fight. And then I put him right back there, give him his treats. Yep. You did a good job. And then, you know, get back in the corner.
It's like having a Rottweiler. You know what I mean? To protect you. It does what it has to do. Yeah. And then you put it back in the cage when you have to.
Yeah. And Rottweilers are really good dogs. I got two Rottweilers. Now that you're speaking, since you speak do. Of that, I got two Rottweilers, man.
Oh, shoot, man. My coach, Ray Longo, says I have a head of a Rottweiler.
You got the head.
I don't know what that means.
Look, man, my 5-year-old Rottweiler, he's got a big ass head, but his neck and his back is bigger than that. And yes, you do have the head, neck, and back of a Rottweiler.
I'm taking that as a compliment. From Jared, I think that is really a compliment. I take it as a compliment from Jared.
He's a beast, man. He's a beast, man. You're a beast.
Yeah. Thank you, Jared. I'm going to play this for Ray Longo because he doesn't mean it as a compliment.
No, he doesn't mean it. He's being very insulting when he says it. So they're good protective dogs, right? Good guard dogs. Not that you need protection, but I mean, your property. It's nice when you're away to probably know you got those two, you know, big dogs guarding your family.
But one is a puppy. We just got the one little girl. But Nago, my boy, he's 5 years old and he's a big dog and he barks at anything that walks down the street or comes to the door, you know? So everybody knows I got a big ass dog in my house. If they want to mess around, my big ass dog bites.
Well, I'll tell you, for a spiritual guy, you got the same dogs as the fucking Omen. Those Rottweilers were guarding Damien.
And I got lots of guns too. So while the dog is keeping the intruders at bay, you know, the wife or the kids can run, go grab a gun and start busting caps and whoever's trying to invade my space.
Yeah, good for you. Dude, and no, Damien had, they were Doberman Pinschers, Matt, I thought.
Were they Dobermans?
I might be wrong.
I think you're wrong.
I might be.
Now no. We're going to find out. I'm pretty sure
Dobermans are really good dogs as well.
They are. Oh, but they were fun. Like, for years, they were like the ferocious dog. And then for some reason, like, nobody.
Necks, though.
Yeah, no one's talking about pit bulls. And all of a sudden, pit bulls got in the news and everybody forgot Doberman Pinschers were around.
Well, the reason why pit bulls got the bad moniker because they're cheap. And anybody who's willing to buy a cheap dog is probably ain't willing to train them properly. So that's the reason why we have bad dogs, because it's not the dog that's the bad dog. It's the trainer that's the bad. It's the owner that's the bad owner. It's not really teaching the dog how to be a hospitable dog, if you will.
Some dogs can't, like, they can be trained, but they're really, like, I forget what they're called, like those Caucasian shepherds, like those giant things that guard, like the Russian gulags. They say dogs like that, you have to know dogs because they're territorial and they're loyal to you, but they'll bite anybody else. So you have to really understand dogs.
You're absolutely right. You have to know the psychology of a dog if you're going to sit here and be in the presence of one. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to go and get a dog, you need to know the psychology of a dog. People think, then I'll just get a dog and teach him how to sit and feed him food and this will be good. Like, no, you really have to get into the mind of the dog. And, you know, it's pretty profound to really think how the dog is thinking. You know what I'm saying? And
all they think about is eating treats and sniffing other dogs' asses.
Well, I mean,
I apologize.
Dave. I mean, if that's all that you see, but I see a whole lot more. I see a lot more in the dog. You know what I'm saying? You know, these animals have souls and they have feelings. They express them. And all things like that, you know what I'm saying? They want to be loved. All dogs are social dogs, you know what I'm saying? So that is, they want to smell your butt to see what you're about, you know what I'm saying?
Jared, you don't listen. You are a very deep person. Dean Thomas is as deep as a puddle. Don't. You don't have to
well,
explain.
Here's the thing, you know what I'm saying? When I'm talking to people who aren't that deep, I don't go down to their level. I bring them up to mine.
Oh, that's right. Please bring me up. Thank you, Dean Thomas.
There you go. I got you, man. I got you.
See, dogs
because I love you guys, because I care.
Dogs can sense. Like I've never had a dog. I've had cats. So I love dogs, but they can, this is what I know. And if I'm like, please don't bite me in my mind. Please don't bite me. Like, I'm afraid. And they can kind of sense that I'm a pussy.
They sense that shit.
I'm not the alpha. Yeah, they know. They're in charge.
And then they're going to get up on there and hump your leg and all that kind of stuff.
And I say nothing. I'm like, look, whatever you're done, finish. I just, you know, I take
Jimmy,
my
what's
punishment.
Your cat name? What's your cat's name, Jimmy?
I've had two cats. They're both dead. My one cat's name was John. I named him John. Which is ironic considering how many hookers I wound up getting, but his name was John.
Who names a cat John?
I named my cat John because I when I first got him, I named him William. Oh no, I named him Susan. I named him Susan because I thought he was a girl. And then they said, no, he's a guy. I was 5 years old and my other cat's name was Midnight, but whatever. John and Midnight were my cats.
You're a cat person.
No, we just didn't have dogs. I would love to have had a dog. I still kind of want to get a dog.
Yeah, I'm not a cat person.
Me neither.
No, a lot of people aren't. But you see,
they're little pricks, Jimmy. Sometimes they come up and they go up against your leg. You're like, oh, it's a cute little. And then, I mean, what the fuck? What are you throwing? What are you? Schizo? These cats? I don't need this shit.
They're like little jokers, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but you like the personality. If you like the personality of a dog, you seem to be into the feelings of it. A cat's an interesting creature. It's an interesting.
They are.
Did you see the video? There's a viral video of a guy who was being chased by, I think, a mountain lion for 6 minutes.
It was
a
cougar.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was a mountain lion.
And he had to back up the whole time. I mean, terrifying.
Yeah, no, I saw that shit. That was, I mean, that's what you get, man. You out there in their territory. What the hell are you doing? Trying to call a little cub in, talking about, oh, how cute. I'm like, what are you doing, dumb dumb?
Yeah. Is there anything you don't want to see more than a baby animal? When you're like, you never want to see a bear cub or a baby lion or a baby.
No.
Because the mother is somewhere around and is not going to be pleased.
In Alaska, it was the moose. You don't want to mess with no baby moose because the mama comes there with those 6-foot legs and starts stomping you into the snow.
Oh, wow. Would they chase you though?
They're big, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're huge. Yeah. They're as big as your truck, man.
So will they chase you like that? That cougar walked that guy down. Will a moose just get rid of you or will they actually follow you and pursue you?
Well, they may charge you. Sometimes they bluff charges. But, you know, if you're stupid and you're trying to, you know, tackle their calf, you're going to get jacked up, you know? But yeah, you know, they got moose up there. They had moose up there. Bears up there would charge people. But, you know, up there in Alaska, people are really outdoorsy. You know, it's pretty beautiful outside, especially in the summertime. So it's a common thing up there.
People are used to it.
I guess so. I couldn't get used to that.
Did you see any bears?
I saw a couple of black bears in the neighborhoods going from trash can to trash can. Maybe I saw one with a cat in his mouth running away.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Now, what are you supposed, if a bear charges you, you're supposed to be big, right? And make noise and act like you're not supposed to cower, which is what I would do. You're supposed to be big.
Yeah, you're supposed to act, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to say no. You're supposed to be the alpha. You know what I'm saying? Pretend like you're the dangerous one.
Oh, shit. Jimmy would be screwed.
Yeah,
I am. Jimmy puts his arm up. Yeah.
That thing's get away. Get away. Jared, I mean, look, this fight this Saturday night, the co-main, what an amazing fight. And Israel Adesanya was saying that, you know, I guess the winner is who he's going to fight. And he had some good things to say about you. So good luck on Saturday. Everybody loves watching you. You're on a tremendous tear. And, you know, Whitaker's very tough and a great fighter and a smart fighter as well. So this is going to be a great fight. So good luck on Saturday.
Can't wait.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Right, thank you, Matt. Thank awesome, you, Dean. Buddy.
Peace out, man. You guys
again. Awesome, yeah, hopefully man. Talk to you again after the fight, okay?
Thanks, Jared.
Sure thing.
You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now, maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's high-performance sports nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters. Now's a great time to get a new home and take advantage of historically low mortgage rates with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Their perfect combination of technology and experienced loan officers will help you get a great rate on your new home. Today's rates are historically low, so there's no better time to lock in that dream home. Get started right now at rate.com. Guaranteed Rate. Positively different. Equal housing lender. Subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS consumeraccess.org.
Hey, let me give you a compliment because I don't give them often to you. I really enjoyed the Dean Diaries.
Did you really?
I enjoyed it. Well, okay, I might have made an appearance in it, but listen, that's not why, Jimmy, that's not why.
Of course it's not.
I didn't forward through to see me, Dean, in the pool.
And why would you?
No, it's not about that, you know? But I'll tell you, it was fun. I enjoyed you talking to your kid.
Oh, yeah?
He's such a nice kid.
Oh, yeah, he's a nice kid.
Very polite. You could pick that up when you're on the thing with him. It's cute, you know? Yeah. I like that. But do me a favor. When you hang up with your kid, tell him you love him. No, just come on.
Yeah, you're right. I probably should have. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to keep it.
You know, nah, listen, like, yeah, I have man. Girls. I don't have boys. But if I had, listen, if I had a little boy, I'm sure I would do the same thing. I'm not telling you how to raise your kid. But how often do you tell him you love him?
Well, I just started telling him I love him this year.
And what are you waiting until the guy's kid's 18? He's 15 years old.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I never really had the sensitive side of me until like this year, then I started telling him I love him.
Jimmy, he's been hanging out with me for the last few years doing the show.
And I'm not taking, okay, yes, you know what I am? I'm taking credit for this. I'm very affectionate. And I bring out this other side of Dean.
Sure.
And now
he does.
He's got that love in his heart, and he's letting his son know how much he loves him. You're welcome, Dean Thomas.
I know, man. I thank you for that, because prior to this, man, it was like just, you know, like I wouldn't even say hi to him sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
now he's being silly. He's being silly. His kid's a nice kid. But the Dean Diaries, they watch it on it's on the UFC's YouTube?
Yeah, on UFC's YouTube, yeah.
Or even if you want to get some new followers, Dean Thomas, right? It's at Dean Thomas?
Yeah, at Dean Thomas. Yeah.
And in your profile on Instagram, they can go right to it. And while we're talking about that, Jimmy brought up the other day, I was like the middle of the night, he goes, look what just came out. I go, Jimmy, I'm sleeping. It was the new episode. Jimmy, you want to finish what I'm about to say?
It was the new episode of Looking for a Fight.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I couldn't believe it. I was
middle
shocked.
Of the night. I go, yep. It's all out. I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah, I knew.
Actually, it wasn't Jimmy. It was Dean, it was you that texted me.
I know.
Jimmy doesn't watch. Jimmy doesn't. Jimmy supports from afar. Jimmy supports and says, good job. I go, did you watch it? He goes, well, I go, okay, I'll just.
He didn't have
in fairness, I don't even watch things I'm on. I don't watch anything that I do either. So I don't watch anything.
Jimmy, I'm with you on that. I don't watch stuff that I do neither.
Yeah.
I smell bullshit right now. I smell fucking bullshit. I think Dean Thomas watches it on a loop. What he does.
No. I watched it one time.
He's calling up Eve Edwards. Check this shit out.
I watched it one time. I watch things like once or never. But I don't like to watch myself.
You know why I watch again our little adventures? Because it reminds me of the fun we have while we're doing it. Mm. Dean Thomas, we have a good time. I had a great time on Fight Island.
Matt, you killed it in the most recent episode, man. I could not stop laughing the entire episode.
No, Dean Thomas is my buddy. We had so much fun. We had so much fun. Wait, and they took some stuff out, Jimmy, because we would,
they have to for time, sure.
Well, you know, that or else they didn't want to look bad over there for the roller. I mean, people do get sick on roller coasters, but they took some stuff out.
Yeah.
That would have been funny. Yeah. But listen, did you guys know that Taya Tuivasa is on a 3-fight skid? Or is it more than that?
He was 10-0 and now he's 10-3, if I'm correct. And I want to ask him about that. You know, you don't want to focus on losses, but
he's funny. He's a wild man, you know, drinking shit, drinking the
I'm going to say he drinks from the shoe, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting.
And we'll talk about Stefan Struve, who I thought retired. Was I crazy to think that he retired at one point?
Nah, I mean, you think about Semi Schilt.
No,
I thought you're thinking about.
Why am I thinking he retired?
You're bringing up a fight. Wait, hold on. Why would you bring up Semi Schilt?
Because they look the same.
You know what it is? They're both 8 feet tall. That's the
fight. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I told you before on here, that's how you know the story's true. I was in a van with him going to the airport, me and Stefan Struve. This is ages ago. And then we get out and we're walking through the airport. We're going the same way. I had to stop him and go, look, we got to go separate ways now. I'm literally up to the dude. And we're walking through the thing. I turn and talk to him. I almost hit his dick in the head with my face. It's Jimmy. And we're in the van. We're having a great time. We're talking. And, you know, and then we get out. We start walking through the thing. And I'm like, I got to go in this story. He's like, oh, you're going this? I go, no, I'm going that way. I got to get the fuck out of there. And he's a nice guy.
Yeah. But I haven't met him in person. I've never seen him in person other than in the cage. So I know, but he's a giant guy. Yeah. But he did announce his retirement, by the way. He did at one point retire after a submission win, I believe, over De Lima. So he's fighting Tuivasa. An interesting matchup. And I wonder what Tuivasa's mental state is. You know, when you drop a couple of fights, does it shake you or no?
You know, he's kind of a wild guy, you know, like who loves to fight. You know, I mean, if he drinks beer out of a shoe. So like guys like that probably just excited. Guys like that are probably just excited to get in there and punch somebody in the face, win or lose.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. You better get a win if you're down three.
Yeah.
You know, I've been down two before. It doesn't feel good. You were one of them, you prick. And I don't feel, you know what? I lost to BJ, I lost to Dean, and then they dropped me from the UFC. Did you know that?
Well, no, they dropped the whole division.
Oh, no, don't cut the shit, Dean Thomas. They dropped
me. I swear to God. No, they dropped the whole division. They dropped the 155 division after that.
That's true.
Did they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How long?
Yeah.
It was like 2 years.
Yeah, me and Dean Thomas killed the division.
Yeah.
You guys wrecked an entire division in the UFC.
You know what happens? This is the kind of people we are. Dean got me fired and I got him hired. Holla! No, Thomas, Dean Thomas, aren't you glad that fucking Pete Spratt didn't pick up the phone that day when I got it? It's fucking first choice.
Right. Yeah, 100. Right.
Ask Dana. We need a third guy.
He was like, Sony Carter.
Looking for a fight?
Yeah.
Nick the Tooth, that moron, left us high and dry. We're going to we're in Las Vegas. We're going to LA in 3 days. Who do we have? I'm in the office with Dana. Who do we have? I know who we got. I got
Sony Carter.
Absolutely not.
Charles McCarthy.
You want me to run into fucking traffic? Charles McCarthy? You fucking serious?
Yeah.
The most depressing guy on the UFC roster back in the day? You out of your mind? You never lived in the house with that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a sunny day out, Charles. It's probably going to rain tomorrow. Jimmy, there's positive and there's negative people. This guy,
yeah.
Holy fuck. We went such a. But anyway, we had such a good time in that house, and you're such a character. Why do I got to keep bringing this? It just came out naturally. I go to Dana. This is what I said to him, Jimmy. I go, I got the guy. I go, Dean Thomas. You know what Dana said? Oh, I always liked Dean Thomas, which was a shock to me.
Yeah.
And then I guess what, Jimmy? I called Dean. Write the voicemail. You believe that? Twice, like three times. And it was one of those couple of rings where it's like, man, I'm trying to give you a. And then I text him. Hey, Dana. He's like, what's up, dummy? I go, no, this is, call me. This is important. Dana's trying to call you, pick up. And now here we are years later. You're doing Dean's Diary on Fight Island. People look at Dean Thomas. They go, I know you as the guy who used to fight. And then they look up his fights. Now they're fans. This guy is taking the world by storm, Jimmy.
All because of you. Because I picked up the phone. Yeah.
No. I'm not going to. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some fights. Yeah. Hey, this is what I want to know, Jimmy.
Yes.
I know, and we're going to do the picks on Wednesday because we like to keep people in suspense.
Sure.
And we're going to get to, I was about to ask you about Khabib and Justin. We'll get to that 1 second.
I'm not going
to. Congratulations on Julian Robinson.
Oh, yeah. Holy thank you very much. Yeah.
Jimmy, did you see that fight?
I did.
It was fucking amazing, man. It was fucking really good. And what I liked about it, that girl in the first round was a beast, Pollyanna. Yes?
Yeah.
She was a beast, and she was confident. Julian stayed the course. She did not get discouraged. And I love the connection between you guys. That first round wasn't an easy one. I believe she got the takedown towards the end, right?
Yeah.
That first round. But then she in the corner, she's like, oh, she's strong. You're like, we expected that. And then right off, she got off the stool. She's like, just 10 more minutes. And you're like, 10 more minutes. And you're like, yeah, you guys were right there. You were right there. And then I saw today on your Instagram and her Instagram, how it started and how it's going. And it was a picture of them when Julian must have been around like 17 or 18. How old was she in that first picture?
She was like 18 in that picture.
She was like 18. She looks like a little kid. And now you see her in the last picture with them on Fight Island. You see both of them back then to now. You're doing something right, Dean Thomas.
Well, it's connection, man. And like, and that was one of the reasons why I left American Top Team in the first place, because I didn't have that connection with people. And that's what you want, right? Like, and that's something that me and Ray talked about. Like, when you have like connection with your people and like a family atmosphere, like that's what you want in terms of like training people. And when you're in a big room with just a lot of people, like it's hard to get that connection. And like, it just didn't make training fun for me.
What's up, homie?
What's doing, bro?
What's going on, buddy? Long time no see.
How are you? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. How is Fight Island treating you?
It's all right.
Look at you. You're looking a little, what'd you drop a couple of pounds? Your face looks nice and thin. You're wearing your Lacoste shirt there.
I'm trying.
Yeah?
That's for sure.
Did you make an effort? Did you want to drop weight or did it just happen through the natural course?
I wanted to be, yeah. I've been training all year, so it's kind of just all fell in place, you know what I mean? So it's been good. I've been active in training anyway.
Been like it's been around a year since we've seen you.
I think I fought this time last year at the same time.
Yeah. And now listen,
What have we been now since then? Have you been working over? You visited. I seen you over at AKA. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. I moved there at the start of the year, and then all this shit happened. So I had to come home.
Man, did you get any training in, or you went there? You unpacked, COVID hit, and you went back. What happened?
It pretty much was like that. But yeah, we kind of trained. We got into it from the get go, and then the gym shut, and then we went to DC's garage, and then just kind of, and then everyone was talking about guns and shit. So I was like, fuck, I'm out of here.
Could you have stayed if you wanted to, or was it a thing where you had to leave, or you just wouldn't have been able to get back home if you didn't leave then?
I got my boy back home, so I was just thinking of him, to be honest.
How old?
He's 4 in November.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, fuck, I didn't know what was going on. Then everyone was like, oh, you won't be allowed back home, and this and that and all this. So I was just like, fuck it. To be honest, I got scared and went inside and just booked the ticket to cut myself home.
So Tayo, listen, we don't like to bring up any negative shit. We're positive guys, and you always got that great energy about you. I notice that when I'm around you. You're drinking boots with liquor in it. You're fucking people spitting. You're a wild man. We love you. But we're on a 3-fight skid. You probably went to AKA to try to correct that, correct?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So now that did not work out. You came home. What are you telling your coaches? What are we saying? Like, listen, we gotta fix this somehow. Something's gotta be sick, because it's not a lack of heart, even skill. It's not a lack of skill. What's going on? What got us back on track? If we are back on track.
It was mainly just mentally. I had to be honest with myself and kind of have a think of what I wanted to do, and then going over to AKA kind of, was kind of let me know what kind of level I need to be at. So
okay.
I just come home with that same attitude, and I was just like, fuck it, I'm just going to train hard until I can get a fight.
Stefan Struve. Now, how many partners do you have that are 8 feet tall? No, I'm only kidding. How many? He's a very tall gentleman. I'm up to his waist.
You are, right?
100%. If I fought him, you ever see that Gilligan episode when he's going through the giant's legs and he's like, that would be me.
Yeah.
I love that episode. It was like a dream sequence. But now, you're fighting this guy. Low singles? Like, what do we do? What do we – now, a guy that giant, how do we get sparring partners that tall? Or do you just have guys like that?
I'm actually very lucky. I've got a sparring partner who's a very good kickboxer, Charles Joyner. He's like 6'8". So he's up there and he's very rangy. So I thought if I could figure him out, I can probably do good all right with Struve. But Struve, I've seen him here and I've had a chat with him and whatever. Man, the man is huge. He's fucking big.
Are you good now mentally? You feel like you're better and where you want to be? You said it was a mental thing and. Is it something that you feel like you cleared up?
I think it was more like just I got comfortable. I kind of moved up real fast. I was making, I got a few businesses. I thought I was just making dumb decisions and I was rushing things and stuff like that. So I kind of had to just sit back and think about what I wanted to do. And I think I've made a few changes. I've kind of been a bit quiet. I've hung out with myself a lot more and stuff like that. So I feel ready, for sure. I feel ready.
Hey, Ty, how did having a child change you? Something tells me before you had a kid, I could see you at the club with your shirt off, taking people's boots off and fucking liquor in it. Ripping your shirt off. I could see you as that guy. Or no, am I way off?
To be honest, I think it wasn't... So I got told I was having a kid, and then within the 9 months I signed to the UFC. I just said fuck it, I'm not gonna be a bum and just be a clown all the time. And within that 9 months, I fought 2 belts in Australia, and I signed to the UFC. And then since then I've kind of just been learning on the run. I'm kind of a freestyle kind of guy, so that's how it worked out. And then and obviously till now, I think, you know, losing and fighting these big guys, I'm more of a yes man. You know, I'll say yes, I want to fight anyone. And I think that's the best way for me to learn, you know. So I feel like I've learned a bit. And especially with fighting, I think I need to take my time and not just not just try and rush.
Yeah, especially since you're fighting guys, you know, guys who have been around longer. I mean, you know, Junior Dos Santos and of course, Struve. And, you know, even all these are all guys who have been around for a long time and they're veterans. So, yeah, when you're fighting that level, you have to, right?
Yeah, I've fought three world champions, Blagoy, Arlovski, Dos Santos. So, I learn like that. I like to be chucked in the deep end and I learn like that. So, and that's just, they bring up Struve and I said, of course, fuck, what better way to try and get back in this in the game by beating a legend?
Yeah, and he is, and you guys are the main event of the prelims. Which when I always say this too, that's always a fight that the UFC expects to be a great fight because that, you know, their motivation is to sell pay per views. So whatever fight they have right before the pay per view is usually a tremendous fight, or it's a fight that they think is going to motivate people to continue watching.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes, they have yeah. They have faith in you. That's so the point of making
compliments.
They like you and they have faith in you, and they think that you're going to have a great fight because that's always a good fight. Is the one right before the main?
Yeah, no, UFC has always looked after me. They treat me pretty good, and even just to be here on Fight Island and have an opportunity to work, I think is fucking sick. You know. There's people out there doing it hard. So I'll take my hat off to UFC and Dana for that.
What did you want to do before you fought? Before you actually fought, was there something else you were heading towards?
Jail.
Were we all?
I know you were, Matt.
Yeah, but you played rugby. You were a professional rugby player.
Yeah, I played rugby league. I was with the top grade when I turned 18. I was pretty good. I was really good at rugby league too, but it just wasn't for me. It was more of a yes sir, no sir type of sport, and I'm not that type of person. So
hey, listen, I did football for like a week, and Mr. Gray, what a prick. I remember we did a thing and he goes, everybody. I didn't really know football that well. You know, I just played with my friends. So I tried off on the ninth grade team or whatever. So I was doing it, right? And then he goes, everybody. This guy, Mr. Gray, was such a prick. Everybody, did you see the way Mr. Sarah did that drill? That is not the way you do. I'm like, what, really, Mr. Gray? You couldn't have just said, Matt, you do it this way. I ended up telling the guy to go fuck himself. That was my football career time.
That's pretty much me too. I'm like that. And in Australia, I think rugby league has a lot of negative, like the media that's involved in it. Man, the boys can't even go and chuck a piss without fucking, you know, getting some shit read about them or something like that. I could see myself, I'd end up on the news for bashing some media person or some shit like that, you know. I knew it wasn't for me, so I made the right decision and I gave it up. And I think I was a bit too violent for the sport anyway. So
violent for rugby. Jesus. Did you not like the team aspect either? A lot of guys like Matt, did you prefer just like there's something about relying on other people? You prefer just to rely on yourself?
I do. I like, but don't get me wrong. I'm a team player as well. I really miss being around the boys and getting involved. But I think growing up where I'm from and playing with my mates who I kind of – we grew up together, it was very different to being a professional sport as well. I kind of once I got professional, it was more like we're not boys. It was more of a job type of thing, you know what I mean? And I didn't really like that, you know. A lot of I'd rather play and die for boys that I love than just a paycheck.
Look, this is obviously it's good to see Stefan too, because he had, I guess, announced retirement at one point. I don't know if he was really playing because he's still a pretty young guy. I mean, he's a legend. You're right, but he's not that old. So I'm happy.
No, he's not old at all.
I mean, 32, I think, right? So he's got a lot of years left if he wants him. But
Ty is 27, and he's going to make him reconsider that whole retirement thing.
Yeah,
he's gonna say no. You had the right decision, right, Ty?
Well, I'm coming off three losses, so I'm coming out. I'm coming out hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not just going with the shorter guy who drinks the stuff out of the boot because he's a wild man and I like him. I'm thinking this is Ty's time. Hey,
Three losses is enough. Let's get back in the winning column, man. I'm with you, man. I'm with you, Ty. F tall people. All right, I'm sorry. That's a little too, too far.
I'm ready.
All right. All right, Ty, it's good talking to you. And look, good luck. You made the main fight of the prelim card, you against Struve, a great fight, and we're happy to see you fighting again.
Thank you, boys. I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate it. Always good talking to you.
Yeah, awesome, you too, man. We'll talk to you again, okay?
Good to see you. Watch the boots you grab, man. Don't be – hey, listen, be a little picky. If you see somebody, you might think have some athlete's foot, they're doing a loogie that you don't like, you could turn
Maddie,
down a boot.
I haven't won for a few fights. I'm ready to fucking drink anything.
Yeah. All right. It's true. Oh, that's fucking great. Hey, take have care, a blast. Man. Have fun.
All right, be good.
All right, brother.
Take care, Ty.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I want to hear Dean Thomas's take on Habib versus Justin Gaethje. Because let me tell you, I'm going to tell you what I think later. But Dean, what is your take on this?
So I think it's a difficult fight to kind of predict, actually, because, you know, everybody talks about Gaethje's wrestling they never used. So we really don't know how good his takedown defense is or his ability to get up, because he's never really been taken down. So nobody has even really tried to take him down. So we don't really know how good he's going to do it once Khabib gets his hands on him. I think if Khabib can't get him down and hold him down, Khabib's going to be in a world of trouble, because I don't think he can stand with Gaethje for too long, because Gaethje just hits too hard. But if he gets him down, then obviously I think, you know, if Gaethje can't get back up, then it's going to be like every other fight. He's just going to get beat up from the bottom. But It's because he's got such a small sample size as to when he's been able to scramble up from the bottom. So it's hard to really predict what's going to happen.
Now, we had Benil Darouche on here a while mm-hmm. ago, and they trained together. I don't know all the time. I don't know. But I remember we were asking him his thoughts on it, and he kind of let – not that he let slip, but he said that, like, the most success he had is up against the cage – up against the wall, whatever they're training with takedowns with Justin. And that stuck out to me. That's like, all right.
Yeah.
If that's where he's the weakest as far as takedowns, you know, being a wrestler, it doesn't matter. You can't escape your hips up against the cage. That is where Habib is a master of
takedowns. I know.
He could do it in the middle. He could do it anywhere. But against the cage is where he just excels. Like, he's just a master at just getting guys down there and just being grueling. So that's something. I just feel it might be a battle of just attrition where, like, it might be a down-and-up situation. And if it is, who's going to be worse to wear if it gets back up? Because sometimes, I mean, if Justin's got that, almost like Jared, we were just talking about with Jared Cannonier, where he just get out from all that stuff, and it's like the fight started right there. If Justin has that ability running over in fucking Denver, he's in Denver, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that's high altitude. Running those mountains over there and whatever else, if he has the gas tank of the up and down and getting away and then still be the fuck, Jimmy?
My hand hit the camera like a fool.
No problem. I got ADD. I don't know where I was.
You said that we're going to do the picks on Wednesday and you were talking.
I can get rid of it. All right, listen, we're going to do these picks on Wednesday.
Now you were talking about, Gaethje training at altitude.
The ship has sailed.
All right. Sorry.
But this is what's important.
Yes.
Dean Thomas is here.
Yes, he is.
Dean.
But I think there's another factor in the fight, too, for Gaethje that works to his advantage. He's been training with Usman for quite some time. And if there's anybody who can replicate sort of what Khabib does, it's somebody like Usman. Usman might even be slightly better for him because he's longer. So if he can get away, so if he's been training with Usman and can figure out how to get away from Usman, he should and theoretically figure out how to get away from Khabib.
Who have we seen get away from Khabib though? Has anybody like Conor did get up at one point, but who has continually been able to get away and stay away from him? You know,
Al did.
Raging Al did the best with him. I mean, he went five rounds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he walked out of there pretty unscathed. I don't even think the guy got stitches, if I remember correctly.
No, he was in good shape at the end of the fight.
He was in great. That was on a day. I mean, and that, if you look as far as ability, Al does have a wrestling background. You know, he's a very good wrestler. I think Justin's wrestling,
he's like a two-time All-American.
What's that?
He's a two-time All-American.
Yeah, he's a more accomplished wrestler.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, if you look at guys similar, Al would be the most similar to Justin. And again, that's literally on a day's notice. So it's not like he even trained for it. You know what I mean? That's just having that wrestling in his arsenal, you know, and never letting him settle. Like even if he gave the back, he went up to all fours. He's looking to pound him. He went belly up. He went, you know, he kept moving where you can't hold somebody and hurt him at the same time. So he had to keep moving and follow with him. And Al did phenomenal in that fight.
Yes, he did.
You know, and that's something that sticks out when I think of this bout, because of the wrestling ability. But we'll talk more about this on Wednesday. What I wanted to talk about with you guys is some of the rumors and the headlines.
Okay, great.
Let's do that.
I like this.
I heard a rumor, ooh, ooh. I heard a rumor. I heard you got a broken heart. I heard. That's from Disorderlies. And that is Bananarama from Disorderlies with the Fat Boys.
With the Fat Boys?
That's right. That's right. Their movie career never did what I expected it to do.
You didn't like this.
The fact that they had a movie?
I did. No, I expected them to be action heroes.
Well, listen, they were in a movie called Disorderlies with the Fat Boys. And one of those fatties died, so rest in peace. But listen. But
this Fat Boys are back, and you know they can never be whack.
Stop it.
You know, they don't get the credit they deserve. They were huge in hip hop.
And so, well, Bananarama is no joke either, Jimmy. Yeah. And, you know, they had so I'm reading here about a rumor. And every time I hear a rumor, I like to sing that song because it's a catchy song. Did you ever hear it? It's from Bananarama. All right, guys, I'm back. We can cut that out if you like. But listen, the thing is this. This is the rumor. Jose Aldo and Chito Vera are likely to be matched up against one another at UFC 255 November 21st. Man, listen, I am a Marlon Chito Vera fan.
Yeah,
me too.
I'm a fan.
Yep.
I know Sean O'Malley ain't, but you know, Sean O'Malley did not take that loss like a warrior and a gentleman. And
we'll see how he does it as next. He's a young guy. Let's see how he does it his next fight. He's able to rebound. Yeah,
I'm not attacking Sean O'Malley, Jimmy. We're not drawing swords. Yeah. I like him. You don't have to stick up for him. I'm not attacking him. Yeah. I like him. But it has to be said. It has to be put in his face. Going, kid, you can't be sitting here saying, oh, I had three fights this year. Very good year. Three stoppages. He doesn't even acknowledge that fight. I think that no one who's another young kid, who I think Sean O'Malley should take a page out of his book, Corey Sandhagen.
Yeah,
Corey Sandhagen.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He lost to Aljo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? First round, and it could not have went worse for him.
Yeah.
You know, you get terrible. Put to sleep. You know, you get knocked out, you get put to sleep. It's not a good day in the office, okay? He did not show any of his ability. And he went on to take on
Marlon Moraes.
Yes, thank you very much. And he did that in spectacular fashion. Never looked better.
You bet.
You know? And, you know, actions speak louder than fucking words. You know, I mean, for Sean O'Malley not to give credit to the guy who's a good dude, who's a real guy, a good guy, hard worker, came over from Ecuador,
has a family. Yeah. He's doing the right thing. He's not a shit talker. He's a real dude. Handled his business. You're not giving the guy the proper credit because you hurt your ankle? Hurt your ankle because he kicked it? I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I get upset because I think somebody close to him should be like, hey, look, tip your hat to the guy. All right, hey, you got me. But if you want to say something, you know what? We'll meet again. Something. Something so you don't feel like you took your man card away. I get it. Yeah. When you get bested in there, it does not feel good, you know? But, you know, it comes with maturity. He's going to – I believe in the future, you know, Sean O'Malley's going to look at that. And he's right. Like, you know what? I should have handled that differently. That's just the way I'm – that's just what I'm throwing out there. Because I think he's a good kid.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like what Ty said, what Ty Tuivasa said. You have to be honest with yourself. Like, if you can't be honest with yourself in this fight game, you're not going to make it very far. Like, you're going to have shortcomings all the time because, like, you have to be honest with yourself and where you stand in the game. And if you can't accept the loss or give the guy credit for beating you, then, like, you're not being honest with yourself. And that's where it starts.
Well, that's what I liked about Francis. When he lost to Stipe, even though he lost to Derek Lewis after, he was very honest after those fights. Like, with Stipe, he's like, I underestimated my opponent. Like, and to do that to the world champion is a silly thing to do, but he was honest about
it. Very silly, Jimmy.
But he admitted it, and he also admitted with Lewis, I wasn't comfortable throwing my punches. He lost a little bit of faith. Like, to be honest about that stuff and go, look, this is what happened, and then you right the ship. But these guys are proof that you can turn around a little bit of a losing streak and start winning fights again.
But anyway, guys, what else we got, man? I had a great time.
Hey, Dean, let's just go. Me and you will do. Just who are you taking in the co-main? Are you taking Cannoneer, or are you taking Robert Whittaker? That's a tough fight to pick.
It is a tough fight to pick, but I kind of like Cannoneer's chances in this because I'm still not 100% sold on Whittaker. You know, because sometimes he's hot, sometimes – no, I'm not talking about his skill. Believe me, I'm not talking about his skill. I'm talking about, like, the way he comes out. And I think that he beat Till fair and square, but, you know, but prior to that, like, he's still kind of hot and cold. And I don't think when you fight a power puncher like Cannoneer that you can flirt with that being hot and cold. I think that, you know, Cannoneer is going to wake him up early with some big shots and then maybe put him away.
Dean Thomas, how often has the guy been cold? He lost to Israel Adesanya.
And 10 rounds with Yoel, he beat him twice.
Yeah, but that's
yourself, that takes Mr. Thomas.
That takes a lot out of you.
Yeah. Ah.
Them 10 rounds took, I think it took a lot out of him. But, I mean, he looked good against Till. I mean, they were a little hesitant at times, but I think that Cannoneer just figures him out early and maybe clips him with a big shot. Because he kind of get hit, because Whittaker does get hit a lot. When he's not moving, he can kind of get hit sometimes.
So. What round, Dean? I think I'm going, and no disrespect to Robert Whittaker, but I think you're right. Whereas Cannoneer, he's been on a tear, and if he gets a hold of him, and I think he will land. I want to go Cannoneer by decision, but I think if it goes to a decision, Whittaker has a good shot because Whittaker's been in enough of those long wars with guys who have knockout power and he's managed to avoid it. So if it goes to the decision, I think that it's going to be Whittaker, but something tells me that Cannoneer will catch him as well. Maybe slow him down with a couple of leg kicks. What round do you think?
See, and this is going to sound bad because I think it's going to be early, but it's not based on the fact that he's that much better. I just think that he's going to catch him early. So I think if it does go to a decision, I would say that Robert Whittaker wins a decision, like you're saying. But I think the Cannoneer has the ability to catch him early. I'm thinking like somewhere in the second round, he just catches him with a shot and it just like flash knocks him down and then he follows up and then that's it. It's a wrap. So that's – and it's not because I think he's that much better. I just think that that's just the way it happens.
And he's looked great. And he's looked great and he has not taken a whole lot of damage lately. And after that second loss, I think he had lost to Blachowicz and Reyes and won three straight since then. I think I'm also going to take Cannoneer in the second round. He's just looked tremendous in his last three fights. He's looked
unstoppable. Well, it's not all fun if we all pick the same way.
Yeah.
You understand?
We'll pick another round.
I'm not going to be influenced by you, Dean Thomas.
You shouldn't be.
Because that's the way of him saying, you don't got to go with Robert Whittaker. You could go with us too, the winning team. Well, maybe the winning team, maybe not. I like the experience. I feel the way Robert Whittaker could mix it up is going to be the difference. He's had experience fighting power punchers that he can't hold down and keep down. Look at Yoel Romero.
I mean, look at that fight. How many fights? Wait, he fought him once or twice?
Twice. 10 rounds.
He went 10 rounds.
10 rounds.
He beat him twice. I mean, he has ability to get out of those big punches. He got caught once in how many rounds by the best there is with Israel Adesanya. So that alone is going to say, okay, Robert Whittaker by decision. I dare you to do something.
Hey, listen, the one thing that I can agree with on this is that Robert Whittaker, I think he's got the speed advantage, which is going to be helpful for him in a three-round fight because he mixes it up well. Like a couple of them shots that he took on Darren Till, like I didn't even see him coming. So yeah. Like if he fights like that and mixes it up like that, he could certainly win this fight. But I don't know. I just see him getting caught somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, okay. It's hard because Cannonier has looked so precise. And again, everyone looks incredible until they don't, but I'm going to have to see Cannonier look bad before I'm convinced that he's, you know what I mean? He's just on a mission right now. So I'm also going to take Cannonier in the second and the main event.
Like man. Okay. Go ahead.
That's okay. But the Gaethje Khabib for the belt.
Man,
I always pick against Khabib and I'm always wrong.
I can't pick up. First of all, I'm a huge Justin. I really like Justin Gaethje. I like the way he carries himself. I like the way that he is one of those guys that really enjoy it in there. Guys might say that. A lot of guys don't mean it. He means it. That guy's having a blast. Having said that, I'm a huge Khabib fan. I love the way I like everything about the guy, especially his Kimuras. Okay. Fifth round stoppage by Khabib in an all-out battle.
Wow.
That's what I said. I said it. I'm staying with it.
All right. I'm going.
Where you going?
No, here's I like Gaethje in this fight, and I'm going with my heart on this one. I'm going with my heart because I like the fact that he's so low-key with the way he's approaching this fight, and he's a violent person. And I like the fact that he's just, like right now, Khabib's on Fight Island with like his entourage and his crew, and he rolled up in helicopters, and Gaethje's out there with just his coach and like his parents, and I like that about him. But he's such a violent person, and he fights. And he's like got this, going into die type attitude. I think he stops Khabib in the fourth.
God, Dean and I are really on the same. That is exact. And by the way, it's almost like we're Clubber Langing and Rocky Balboa 3, you know what I mean? The guy in the nice gym and the other guy who's got nothing. I was thinking Gaethje in the fourth, but man.
What do you think? This guy's sitting there wrestling bears at 8 years old. He's in the mountains of the Dagestani mountains running up hills.
That's not where he did this camp. He did this camp in Dubai.
Don't matter.
Javier Mendez said they put him in a nice hotel.
It's in him. It's in him. Wrestling
with bears. What are
you? It was Rocky III.
Rocky III.
With bubbles and kissing babies in the middle of rounds.
Yeah, Mickey's all mad. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here.
This is not going on. This is not happening.
What do you
Khabib means business. He's not his whole career. He's undefeated. He's not going, let me take it lightly now when I'm fighting Justin Gaethje, the most dangerous guy I've fought to date. No. He is a man on a mission, and I feel that Justin Gaethje, style-wise, is probably the hardest guy in the whole division. But still, I feel that the cage wrestling is going to be the difference. Yeah. There's going to be a lot up against there, and it's going to be a war of attrition, and I think Khabib will come out on top.
How do you think he went? Decision, or do you
think? Fifth round stoppage.
Yeah,
I'm expecting a battle. You know what I'm saying? Most excited I'd been for a fight since Adesanya versus Costa that let us down a little bit.
I think Matt is right. I do think that probably Khabib is going to win the fight because again he's just unstoppable. However,
hey buddy, flip flop lately?
No. But I'm going with Gaethje. I'm going with Gaethje because I'm betting with my heart because I want him to win. Not that I don't like Khabib, I like him a lot, but I want to see Gaethje get a shot at the title. And there's always something about seeing a guy who hasn't had it get it. And that also makes up for very interesting matchups between the fight that I want really, which is Gaethje and Connor, is a fight that I've really wanted to see a lot. So I think there's a lot, or there's just a lot of fights I want to see. Maybe Khabib fighting for the belt again. Anyway, I'm babbling. I'm going to go with Gaethje in the fourth, even though I'm not even flip-flopping. I do think every time I bet against him is wrong. Every time I bet against Khabib, I'm wrong. Every time. But I'm going to take Gaethje in the fourth.
You said the same thing.
Yeah. I'm going to take Gaethje in the fourth because that was my first thought, even though I do technically think you're probably right. And I think Khabib will probably, you know what I mean? Like I'm going with, I want to see the Gaethje get the belt because I like him so much. When you want to pick Volkov, Walt Harris, third fight of the, I mean, that's a fight that we're missing. I think Harris is going to win this fight. I'm taking Walt Harris.
Harris, first round stoppage.
Yeah, I got Walt by decision, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's going. He almost took out Overeem and then Overeem.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I think he's going in like he took out Olenek.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Walt is one of the most talented heavyweights I've ever worked with. Yeah. And I thought he underperformed in a lot of fights. I had him to beat Overeem, but he obviously lost that fight. But I think he's going to bust Volkov up. But I think Volkov's defense is going to be good enough to, like, hang out for a little bit, but.
Yeah, Volkov had a hard time against, again, no disrespect to Greg Hardy. He's a good fighter, but he's not as experienced. Sure.
Greg doesn't have, especially at that time, what Walt had, like that smooth style, you know, and he gave Volkov problems.
Yeah.
All right, listen, Dean, what do you want to plug? Plug something.
Yeah, just, watch the Dean Diaries and then watch Looking Forward to a Fight. That's it. Looking Forward to a Fight. Matt, you killed it, as always. So, yeah, we live in a dream, man. Watch those episodes.
We have so much fun. We have so much fun, you know. I have three jobs. And I love every one of them.
Yeah.
One of them is with Dean Thomas and Dana. We're doing our show, Dana White, Looking for a Fight or Looking Forward to a Fight. The other one is here with my little Jimmy Bird. This is work. Right now I'm working.
You're working.
I'm working.
This is our job.
You know? And then I go and I teach people how to take limbs off and defend themselves.
Yep.
It's great. It's a great lifestyle.
Come on, man. Yeah. I can't complain. All right, guys. Enough about how awesome our lives are. Listen.
So, Matt, when am I going to see you again?
Me?
Yeah, when will I see you again?
Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Is that a way to segue out of here?
No. I mean, I'm happy to see Dean. Dean, it was really great seeing you.
Dean and, might come back, too, on Wednesday. We'll see.
Yeah, because we got to do the picks, right? Y'all said I can do the picks with you guys.
Listen, Antonio, I'm telling our producers, let's get Dean on. At least even at the, whatever, even if it's at the end of the show, I don't give a fuck. You can come on the whole thing.
By the way, I don't, before we go, just in, as we're leaving, just so you guys, today's Wednesday.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
Yeah. All right, guys. It's been great talking to you. See you next week, Matt.
Holy shit. Oh, listen to me. Listen, we did our picks. Did we do the picks?
Yeah. No, we're good. I'll see
Holy
you Monday.
Holy fuck! It's Dean Thomas. Listen. He has an excuse. He's in Mexico. He came over from another time. He came over from Guam, and then he went to freaking. He was in Fight Island. Dean Thomas, I blame you for this. Look at the face of a moron. Look, not don't look up. Look at me, not you. Look at me. this was my bad. And Jimmy.
I said
I thought he was playing with me, Jimmy.
No, I kept saying 30 times. Wednesday. We'll do it Wednesday. Thinking like Matt's going to know it's Wednesday. And then Dean, I thought you were in on it with me.
I really thought it was Monday.
The two of you.
I don't know what today is, man. I haven't been home. I don't even know what time it is.
Dean Thomas.
I haven't been home in a month.
You know who has been home for a while that has no excuse whatsoever? This guy.
Matt Serra.
Everybody, I'm sorry. Jimmy, I will not see you. I will see you next Wednesday. But I will see you next week. Monday.
Yeah.
We'll talk before then.
We will.
And Dean, so much for coming on. Hey, maybe come on next week. I'm sorry about
that. Yeah, man, let's do this next week. Yeah.
Wow. Listen, love you guys. The fights are this weekend. Give a proper plug for the fights, please, Jimmy.
It's Khabib against Gaethje for the lightweight belt. Also, Walt Harris is fighting on this fight against Alexander Volkov. And the co-main, Jared Cannonier against Robert Whittaker. And the winner gets their shot at Israel Adesanya for the middleweight belt. I mean, incredible, incredible night of fights. So I'll talk to you guys soon. And I'm happy we cleared that up.
Be safe, Dean Thomas.
All right, boys.
Bye, guys.
Peace out.
Thanks,
Later,
Dean.
Guys.
Later.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.